Welcome to the Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This is the week of February 19th to the 25th. Hi, Gabriella.
Hi, Scott.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Excellent.
How are you? Wonderful.
Happy to hear that. I'm doing well as well. Yes. Yes. Happy to be here with you. Happy to be, I'm always excited. I love.
You are. True about you. You're always excited, especially when it's always excited pretty much in general, but especially when you get to talk about astrology.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the default.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I love it. And this week we're talking about five transits.
Okay.
Which are highlighted by Mercury transiting into Pisces and the full moon in Virgo.
Okay.
Yes. But let's begin the week with, well, let me think for a second. Let me just pause.
Okay.
And I kind of like just like posing a question to the audience to start.
What do you want to ask?
What I want to ask is, okay, yeah. So I asked a few weeks ago, this was probably maybe about a month ago. I asked the audience right after Pluto transited into Aquarius, like how's that energy feeling to you? Like, did you feel a shift? And we got some responses. I think we got a lot of responses on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think the most responses that we've had so far.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It was exciting.
Yes. So I really appreciate everyone's responses. I do want to dip into a question real quick because there was a question that came up about that that I wanted to get to. It's been a month now, almost a month, but Shima Bear says there is a transit shutdown currently in Vancouver. This was back on January 23rd, so almost a month ago. How do the transits play into this? I'm curious since there's some weird things going on and it's only January.
Wait, so there's a transit shutdown, meaning like public transit?
I think that's what it means.
Okay.
I think like, I don't think that Shima Bear was talking about like the planetary transits.
Okay.
I think...
So they're wondering what
there's
might
a transit shutdown
cause that.
And Shima Bear wants to know how the transits are affecting the transit shutdown. And
gotcha.
And, you know...
It's a good question.
Shima Bear uses the word weird.
Hmm.
And I mean this in the best possible, most complimentary way. Aquarius is like the weirdest sign in a sense. There's something, you know, Aquariuses are very unique.
Eclectic.
It's a unique energy. This is when everybody like sort of gets their freak on. And it also involves the community. So if there is a transit shutdown in the community, maybe that had something to do with Pluto transiting into Aquarius, the sun transiting into Aquarius. It's creating some sort of disruption in the community. Pluto is the god of death. So it's bringing that transformation energy to the community. So that's my guess. I guess another thing to do would be to look up if we could find like when was the city of Vancouver founded and try to come up with a birth chart of Vancouver and see what planets are transiting in relation to Vancouver's birth chart. But thank you, Shima Bear. I hope that answers your question. But I'm just going back to what I was alluding to earlier. How is everyone experiencing this energy of Pluto transiting through Aquarius. Venus and Mars are in Aquarius now too.
Mm-hmm.
Mercury is completing its transit through Aquarius. The Sun has moved on to Pisces, but there is still a lot of that Aquarius energy. So there is, for me personally, what I've been experiencing is shifts, a lot of shifting going on in my relationships. And what I mean by relationships, I'm talking more of like the group relationship, the group, the dynamics within my group relationships, or the dynamics within, or the group dynamics. What am I trying to say? Something like that. So
yeah, you're noticing shifts in your group dynamic.
Yes.
Do you mean family, friendships, or both?
Friendships. Yeah.
Okay. What kinds of shifts?
Well, it was like right after the, right after Pluto transited into Aquarius with the Sun back on January 20th, it was that weekend, there was like a blow up that happened in this group text exchange that I'm a part of with some childhood friends.
Okay.
Yes. And so it really created a shift.
So was there something about that sort of blow up that has the opportunity to bring more harmony for the group?
I think so. I hope so. I don't know if it will or if it, I mean, I think it all depends on how we all work with the energy. Like
how
I always say, how we respond. But like my perspective is from my perspective, I'm just, this is who I am. You know, this is my opinion. This is my perspective. I just want my perspective to be respected. You don't have to agree with me. You don't even have to like what I have to say. But let's have respect for each other. That is the essence of Aquarius, is to create that cohesion within the group where we all have our own perspectives. We all have our own points of view. And sometimes they're going to vibe with each other, and sometimes they're going to rub up and conflict each other. But we want to detach ourselves from the emotion and the feelings of it and just look at the facts. Let's be logical about everything. And if we start disrespecting each other by calling each other names and insulting one another, then it's hard to maintain that cool-headed logic. Like Aquarius is like the coolest sign. Aquarius is the coolest sign. And just one reflection of Aquarius being the coolest sign is Paul Newman, the actor. He's an Aquarius. One of his famous films is Cool Hand Luke. And you see him in this movie and he's getting beat up and, you know, pushed around as he's in prison. But he's just, you know, doesn't get emotional about it. He's logical. And so that's the energy that we want to really harness during this Aquarius season. Even though the Sun's in Pisces, and that brings that element of emotion with Pluto, Venus, Mars, and the tail end of Mercury in Aquarius, we want to maintain that. Let's be chill. Let's be logical. Let's be cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do think the Aquarius people I know are cool. Like there's something about them that's, maybe it's a little bit of that detached quality. They seem sort of unaffected in a way that looks desirable, I guess, which is what you're saying when you say something looks cool, like that you're curious about it, or that maybe you don't totally understand it, but you're intrigued. Is that sort of what cool means to me?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think I've really used that word myself, but since you bring it in, I can definitely see how that applies.
Like my mom's an Aquarius and she was a teacher and a counselor at my high school when I was in high school. And you might think like, oh God, that must have been awful. Your mom's at school while you're there. But everyone loved my mom. I'd come back from lunch and I'd go into her classroom and my friends and a bunch of people would be hanging out in her classroom having lunch. She would be the lead singer in mock rock, which there was this thing that we did in high school where you dress up and you do like lip syncing in the high school gymnasium. And my mom would be doing that every year with all the teachers and they were the biggest hit. You know, I think about this girl who was in my yoga class for years when I was before COVID and going to the same yoga class, like, you know, 3 to 5 days a week, I always was in the same place because I've got a lot of fixed energy. So I had my spot. I get there mm-hmm. super early. And there'd be this woman who was always in the same place too. She was right behind me. And I ended up finding out later that she was Aquarius. Of course, she's fixed. I'm fixed. But she had, like, her hair was dyed orange. But it was just really cool. It was weird. It was different, very unique, but it worked for her. It seemed normal. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, these Aquarians are leading the way for us in whatever way, you know, based on the combination of their charts.
Yes.
That might look different
exactly.
for each person, but they're sort of modeling that I'm unique and I'm cool with it.
Yes.
I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about being different.
They're good with being themselves.
They are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I love what you said too about going back to the text chain exchange issue that you're having with your friends. It sounds like you're really sort of inviting everyone into this opportunity to, like, reframe or sort of heal.
Transform.
That's the Pluto. Something that's going on in the group energy. And to your point, maybe you will, maybe you won't, depending on, you know, everyone's individual part. But what I wanted to highlight what you said about respect, which feels really important, this part that you don't have to agree with someone to respect them.
Right, exactly. Yes.
And I feel like that, like, we need billboards of that all over the place.
Yes.
Because I don't, how do you learn that? Like, that's not really something I think that people really know.
No, I feel like that's totally counterintuitive to where we are in society right now.
It is.
Where
so
it's
just
like, you disagree with me, so you suck. You're an a-hole, you know? It's like, what? That, no.
Well, it speaks to really this larger shift that we need to move towards, which is embracing differences instead of being afraid of them. Mm-hmm. I think that's where that comes from.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, most undesirable behavior comes from fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is no different.
Exactly. You nailed it. That's it.
And it's hard to respect something you fear, maybe?
Totally. I think it is hard to respect something that you fear. How do you respect something that you fear?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know how those two sit together.
I think you, like, think about it this way. Like, if you're in the ocean and there's a shark and you're afraid of the shark, like, you're going to respect that. You're going to try to stay away from that. But there's also the flip side where it's like, if you're afraid of, like, a spider is in the house, like, you want to kill it as opposed to just, you know, putting a jar over it with a piece of paper and throwing it outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is some nuance to it. I think most people are either going to try to avoid what they fear or they're going to try to attack what they fear. But they're not really going to sit with what they fear and experience it and question, where is this fear coming from? Why does this bother me so much? Why am I afraid?
Mm-hmm.
How can I overcome or transmute the fear into love through understanding?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder how much of this sort of pattern of trying to be around those who are similar to us, like, just comes from our childhood development process.
Yes, I'm sure.
I mean, the way that I saw this amazing quote this week that made me laugh and then made me think really about it on a deeper level. And it said, children never listen to their parents, but have never failed to imitate them.
Right.
And I know this changes typically when you're a teenager, but the pre-teenage years, there really is this strong experience of imitating the world around you, imitating the people around you. And those are the most formative years, especially your first 7 years. You're really, all of these patterns, behaviors, belief systems get stored in the psyche, whether they end up in your subconscious or get pushed all the way down into your unconscious, they become really embedded in who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we almost have this sort of, like, just because of the way we develop this sort of programming, like, to want to be like those who are around us and therefore to want to be in a group that is similar to us because that's what originally felt safe.
Yes.
As a child. And then we sort of go through this rebellious period, most of us in high school, where we want to start connecting more with our peers and less with our family. Mm-hmm. But typically we still seek out a group who is like us.
Yes.
Like you think about all the high school cliches of all the cliques.
The cliques.
Yeah. You know, you're still looking for, I mean, really you're looking for yourself.
Right.
But
you're trying to find who you are.
Yeah, but you're mm-hmm. looking for yourself, like through that mirroring experience of other people. Mm. Like I remember in high school, I had to have the same pair of jeans as a friend of mine. Mm. And it was really important we would text each other that we wore the jeans on the same day. And they were the exact same jeans. And I remember this being such an important thing for me. And I think when we get to be adults, I mean, we're still sort of in that pattern in a sense. Mm. You know, a lot of what orients people now, you know, I learned this in the fashion industry in my career prior to psychology, but brands are trying to organize people in certain styles, certain looks.
Yes.
And so that's still happening, you know, even though it's not the same sorts of groupings that you would see in high school, it's still happening in terms of like how you look, what your style is, what your vibe is.
Totally.
So I think we don't have a lot of encouragement to really seek out people who are different from ourselves mm-hmm. because that's just kind of not the way that society has been set up. We've been set up like...
To be put in boxes, in categories.
To be put in boxes and categories. Mm-hmm. And the last job that I had in corporate America, I was working for a licensee of Nike. Mm. And everyone there loved Nike.
Yeah. Hey, Nike's the best.
Yeah. Like, and of course that makes sense, right? That yeah. they would hire people like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But we ended up with like not a lot of sort of diversity of thought.
Right. Of course.
Of course. No. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know completely what the answer is. You know, I don't expect people at Nike to hire people who hate Nike, although that is sort of what they did with me.
Did you have an opinion about Nike before you started working there? You grew to hate them after you were working there.
My experience when I'm in a group is often to kind of notice the ways that I'm actually different. I'm not really a joiner when it comes to groups. I was a little bit when I started because I felt like that's sort of what I needed to do to fit in. So I was, you know, buying some Nike clothes, buying the shoes, and then slowly I realized that I really didn't like all of the, I'm not really a branded person. Mm-hmm. I prefer not to have a lot of brands on my clothes personally, but totally respect other people who are into that.
Sure.
So I just slowly, I was there for 7 years and kind of went through this like process of moving away. Like the people who knew me the whole time, you know, saw this transformation, but something felt suffocating to me about being too much a part of the group in terms of looking alike and speaking the same way and wearing the same things. And it started to feel like too much on some level. And I ended up finding, you know, these were very formative years for me that I was at this job and just like really shifting in terms of my style and what I wanted to dress like, what I wanted to wear. And I ended up someone who didn't wear Nike at all. And so I kind of ended up being like a fly in the ointment of this company in some way.
Yeah. You were the oddball.
I ended up the oddball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The black sheep. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I was the black sheep. The whole time I was just, my wolf's clothing was Nike. Mm-hmm. And then I took it off.
Yeah. Your wolf's clothing was, so you were trying to fit in at first.
I was. Then, that was the default.
Yeah. Because you're like, okay, that's what we're supposed to do here.
Well, and society will make it very clear for you what you need to do to fit in.
Totally.
Because that's how we've been programmed, that's what it means to be a part of community.
Well, and that's the sort of experience that I've had with this friend group is, and I look back to like all my sort of friend groups that I've had a lot of different groups. And typically there's the alpha dog and then the beta dogs, but I don't fit in either of those categories. I'm the stray dog. I'm the guy who's just there. And I do my own thing and I kind of fit in, but then I end up probably at some point irritating the alpha dog and I have to like split off from the group. So, and go off on my own for a while and be just, you know, alone scavenging the streets. But that quote that you gave about the parents and the children, there was a commercial back in probably the 80s or maybe early 90s, where there's this big like Say No to Drugs campaign. Hmm. And this commercial was this dad goes into his teenage son's bedroom and he looks and he's like, "What is this?" And it's like, you know, it's like a box full of like some joints or something, some weed. And he's like, "What is this? What is this in here?" And the son's like, the dad's like, "How did you learn about this? He's like, "I learned from watching you, Dad. I learned from watching you." And the dad's like, "Oh,
oops."
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So here we are finding our way in the new dynamic of community and society and groups and,
yeah,
you know, where it's all getting torn to shreds in a sense, and it will continue as we progress on, and we're going to transform. We're going to evolve.
Well, I think what you shared, that you're a bit of the black sheep as well,
mm-hmm,
in, yeah, your group.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, kind of the instigator of new ideas, mm-hmm, or new ways of... You rock the boat.
I'm the heretic.
You're the heretic.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm really curious about this term, the black sheep. And I've actually done a little bit of research about it over the years, as I've started to kind of realize that actually that is sort of me. Mm-hmm. And it might not be how I always start out in a group. And that might be my Venus in Scorpio,
totally,
kind of concealing myself in some way.
Well, I'm Venus in Libra, so I'm trying to, hey, I'm cool, I'm chill, I fit in, thinking of the other side, but eventually...
It's like, nope, this is sort of what's happening. Yeah, but so what I learned about researching this,
yes,
term is that in a herd of sheep, the black sheep... There was not necessarily just one. Sometimes there would be more than one,
mm-hmm,
but it's less common to have a sheep with black fur.
Right.
Because they're not bred that way, because the wool cannot be dyed colors when, mm-hmm, it's black. So that's why it's less desirable.
Yeah.
So they want the white sheep because the wool is more versatile.
Exactly.
Versus the black sheep can only make black items,
yeah,
clothing, or, you know, whatever, mm-hmm, the material is being used for. So literally the black sheep cannot be transformed like the white sheep can be.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. It just pisses off the shepherd. Oh my God, we got another black sheep. And that's what we do. Just,
yeah,
pissing people off wherever we go. So
it's,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yes.
Yeah. I really, yeah.
That is fascinating.
I think that's powerful.
But, you know, but I mean, what's the deeper meaning of that? The black sheep, like they're doing something. I don't know. Yeah. They're not transforming. I don't know. That's something to think about.
I would say though, that there aren't as many white sheep as people think.
Hmm.
I think there's this, like my experience at this job where I was sort of disguising myself in, mm-hmm, some way.
Yeah.
And there was the ability to do that.
You're saying in the metaphorical sense, there's not as many white sheep.
In a metaphorical, yeah, sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like there aren't as many people who really feel comfortable in the groups that they're part of, mm-hmm, in the ways that they're maybe concealing themselves.
Yes.
So I think part of the energy of the black sheep, or what the black sheep, the people who are willing to stand out as the black sheep, are doing for the rest of the herd, is encouraging them to be whatever color you are, like, mm-hmm, be whoever you are.
Yes.
And shed those layers, because maybe you're not really like everyone else in the group.
Mm.
And once we get to the point where more people are willing to stand out for what it is they believe in, or what they like, or just who they are, the more other people will follow suit, right? Because it's imitation.
Right.
Is that's what we do, is we imitate each other.
Yeah, we want to fit in.
Right. So I think it can work both ways. The imitation can either lead to more conformity,
mm-hmm,
or it can lead to more individuality.
Right.
So that's the way, I think it's a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I think this energy will kind of come into fruition more.
Mm.
I hope. That's, yes, kind of what I imagine.
Yeah, that's the lighter side. That's the dream.
Mm-hmm.
The fantasy.
Yeah.
That we're going to learn to be ourselves. and inspire other people to be ourselves. Not necessarily like us exactly, but that they can be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're learning, it might be kind of a rocky process. You might get rejected from the group.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being someone who is inspiring others in the group.
Yes.
I mean, I had a couple experiences at Pacifica where I did my master's program where I rocked the boat in a couple ways.
You did.
I did. It was really hard for me, but I also felt like deep in my bones that I was supposed to share these different opinions that I had about what was coming up. And I don't feel like I was outwardly rejected, but I definitely felt some coldness from some of my cohort members. But I also had several people who reached out to me kind of secretly in private, which I thought was interesting, not in front of the group, but in private.
Scary. Yeah.
Thanking me for voicing a different opinion. And they weren't necessarily saying that they agreed because maybe that was too outside of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
But one of the women said to me, because we had class representatives each year that I was there who represented the needs of the class to the faculty and would share feedback about, you know, how everyone was experiencing the program. And one of the women, after thanking me for speaking out, she said, "I see you as one of the class reps." And it was really this beautiful sort of push towards, okay, maybe there's value in a different perspective.
For sure.
And maybe people are actually more interested in that different perspective than I thought. Or appreciate me for that.
Yep.
So that was a huge lesson.
And you ended up becoming one of the class reps.
I did become one of the class reps. So it was really, really interesting.
Yes. But that's also an example of you following your North Node.
It is.
Being authentic. And so because you are authentic in a position that your Libra South Node would typically say, don't do that because you're going to rock the boat. You're going to disturb the peace. You were like, no, I can't hold this anymore. And you were authentic in your expression. And because of that, you were invited to be in a position of leadership, which is your North Node in Aries in the 10th house.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it was a pretty clear lesson. Yes. It was also scary.
Yes. Following your North Node can be and might typically be scary, at least in the beginning, because you're in this new territory.
Right.
This is really kind of perfect that we're having this discussion to begin the episode, because the first transit of the week is Chiron, the wound, and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound, conjunct with the North Node.
Oh, interesting.
The karmic pathway of the soul's purpose in the cardinal fire sign symbolized by the ram Aries. This is a frequency that we've been experiencing. These two energies, the North Node isn't a planet, it's a point in the sky. Chiron is an asteroid that orbits the sun. These two have been within 2 degrees of each other since January 29th. And they will continue to be within 2 degrees of each other until March 10th. So from January 29th to March 10th, there is this powerful focus that is directing your attention on yourself. Who are you? Who are you? What are you afraid of? What is the status of your insecurities? What is preventing you from being direct, being courageous, being authentic, from loving yourself? This makes an exact conjunction on Monday, February 19th. That's why we're discussing it right now. Really think about where you've been for the last 20 days or so in terms of your personality, the way that you're presenting yourself to others, how you see yourself, how others see you, and then where are you right now, and where do you want to be by March 10th when these two begin to separate from one another. Hopefully by March 10th, you've faced your fears, you've dealt with your insecurities, and you're like, okay, well, this is who I am. Hmm. And when you think about it in terms of the group construct, group dynamics, like I can look at myself and my friends and say, you know, I'm sad if it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's disappointing. But at the same time, I can't be anyone other than who I am. And I need to love myself. I need to protect myself. I need to be courageous in my self-expression.
Hmm.
It's not about hiding right now. And this, we're being pushed. This energy is pushing us out into the open to be seen. Aries rules the face, rules the head. That's how we identify you. I know I'm looking at Gabriella because I see your face.
Right.
This energy is coming about right now. We're being pushed to show our faces because everything is being shaken up so that we can find our community, find our village.
Mm-hmm.
And your village might look different and be different than the village you were living in before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a tall order. When you step into yourself in a deeper way, it's possible to alienate people from your life. And
totally.
There might be a void before you find the new community.
And that's the scary part.
Yeah. But the truth is, you'll be so much more happy in that new community or that new group of friends or that new relationship or that new job, because then you'll really be loved for who you are.
Yes.
It's a really painful process to be loved for who you're not.
And the thing is if you're talking about old friends, they know who you were.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily know who you are.
Right.
Because you've changed since you became friends, and they've changed since you became friends.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is changing. Everyone's evolving and growing and shifting. And you might sometimes grow apart from a friend, and that's difficult. But you're growing apart because in order to be yourself, that friendship or those friendships aren't supporting you in where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer reflecting you for who you are. At one point, they were reflecting you for who you are, but now they're not necessarily reflecting you for who you are.
Well, a lot of friendships, too, maybe never reflected you. They were just friendships out of convenience because you grew up in the same town or went to the same school or had
exactly.
the same job.
Yes.
So I just want to throw that out there as an option, too. And it doesn't mean you don't love those people,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't choose each other exactly. There was an element of convenience. So I've noticed this. I've had friendships like this, too. People that I worked with, and then maybe somebody leaves that job and the friendship just sort of dissolves.
Right. You have nothing in common anymore.
Right.
You know, it's like there's friendships of convenience. And so like when you're going to school, there's convenience, but there's also common interests because you're mm-hmm. you're in the same place every day. 5 days a week or whatever you're going to school. And so you have a teacher in common or teachers in common. You have activities that you do in common. So there's common interests.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have a job, the common interest is the job.
Right.
But when you leave the school or you leave the job, what common interests do you share with the people that you had relationships with in those areas?
Mm.
Do you still share any interests?
Right.
The friends that I have maintained over time, I've maintained because we share common interests.
Mm-hmm.
But as life evolves, those interests change. Or maybe the interests stay the same, but the viewpoints and the perspectives change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it gets potentially conflicting.
Right.
Because now all of a sudden, oh wait, I don't see you. You think that? That's not how you used to think.
Mm-hmm.
So now I don't like you anymore.
Well, I think everybody experienced this during COVID.
Right.
Because there were so many different perspectives.
Exactly.
Around what was happening or not happening, that it really forced people into an uncomfortable place.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Think about where the planets were too and why this was happening, because it was, do you remember December 2020, the Christmas star?
The Christmas star?
Yeah, everyone was going off about the Christmas star. The Christmas star, because it was Jupiter and Saturn were conjunct. They were right on top of each other. Jupiter and Saturn were right on top of each other. They were at the same degree, and they were kind of low on the horizon because the sun was in Sagittarius. So right after the sun would set, they were at the first degree of Aquarius. So the planet of expansion and the planet of restriction transiting through the sign of community, group, social networks, the group construct. And so that's why during COVID, there was so much strain and stress around, well, do I want to be involved with this group? Do I want to be involved with these people? Because the planet of restriction was creating work and challenge in that dynamic, while the planet of expansion was really giving us this broader view of like, yeah, I'm looking at the big picture of the people that I spent time with. Maybe this isn't my village.
Mm-hmm.
These groups of people, even though I've been friends with them for 20 years or whatever, it's not my village, because we see things very differently. And that was the challenge. It's like, how can you maintain a relationship with somebody when you're at polar opposites in viewpoints? But the universe has doubled down, and now Pluto's here. So it's going to be like, well, you got to figure it out, because we're all stuck on this planet together. So you're going to have to figure out how to really dislike somebody's point of view and still respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, that's when you get those wars.
Yeah.
The American Revolution, the French Revolution, all the different rebellions that were occurring back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's all how we're working with the energy. How can we come to an agreement of disagreement and respect in the process? And the way to do it is through this first transit with the North Node and Chiron conjunct in Aries, facing our fears, facing our insecurities, and being willing to be authentic. When you are loving yourself and you're authentic, you're not threatened by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Really not. You're like, okay, yeah, you, because I'm not insecure by your different belief than mine.
Yeah, you love and respect yourself enough that if you're not getting that from someone else, you have that fulfillment within yourself. Like, yes, you're completing that within yourself.
Yes, it's that, but it's also, if you love and respect yourself, then it makes it easier to love and respect others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If somebody has a different point of view than you, and you don't feel secure about yourself or your point of view, you might have disdain for the other person because you feel threatened by their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You feel threatened that they might force you into their belief or their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, well, how could they do that? That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So this is a great example of how healing yourself helps to heal your relationships and helps to heal other people.
Yes, the collective.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with you.
Yes.
It starts with you.
Yep.
The second transit this week, Venus, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships, Lady Luck, forms a conjunction. Second conjunction of the week. This one is with Mars, the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict, in the fixed air sign, symbolized by the water bearer and ruled by Saturn and Uranus, Aquarius. This is a transit that is occurring from Saturday, February 17th to Monday, February 26th, with an exact conjunction happening on Wednesday, February 21st. So get ready for a power-packed week of some potential relationship conflicts within the group dynamic.
Hmm.
Things are getting sussed out. Well, did you hear that Gabriella said this? She said that. Gabriella, did you say this? You say, you know, it's like the sort of grapevine is flowing right now. There's a lot of connecting between this person and that person. That person said this and that person did that or whatever, and it's creating conflicts. Good. Bring it up. Bring up the conflict, because it's here to move through the energy that's stuck. It's here to test you out in terms of, are you secure with yourself? Are you loving yourself? Are you confident and courageous in your self-expression? If so, then you'll be able to work through these group challenges, and everybody will, by the end of the week or by early next week, we're like, okay, I understand you. I get it. We're good.
So when you talk about the group or the community, you could be referring to like the family system or your coworkers, or it could be folks that you're related to, or it could be more just social contacts, right? It could be any group, would you say? Or
I think it could be any group.
Okay.
I think it could be family, but Aquarius is more oriented towards the broader spectrum of the community. So I think of it in terms of like your Facebook group or your buddies from high school group or your friends from college group or your mommy and me group or any sort of any group, your bridge group, your poker friends, you know, it's whatever. If you have a group of friends, it could be a work group. You have a group, you have a, you know, you're a part of a group within the organization, whether it's your work, your job, or if it's like, if you're a part of a social cause and we're a part of, you know, we're a part of this campaign and we're, our group, this campaign is doing the media organizations or whatever, you know, it could be any sort of group,
okay,
any group dynamic.
So it's typically outside of your family system.
Typically, but I mean, it all depends, you know, like I don't want to say, no, it's not family. Like, this is where I ask the audience, like, tell us, like, where are you feeling challenges within any group dynamics? Is it your family? Is it a friends? Yeah. Is it a bunch of friends? Is it, you know, is it acquaintances? Is it a social cause that you're a part of? Is it a work group that you're a part of? Like, that's where I really want to hear back from the audience to know how they're reflecting the energy, because I don't want to close anything out and say, well, Aquarius isn't about the family, so it can't be the family. No, like, I'm not going to say that. It can be, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have people tell me all the time, like, well, that sounds like my family when I'm talking about Aquarius. Maybe you have a really social family.
What's interesting is that our families are our first experience of groups.
Yes, exactly.
So, like, what can happen if anyone, any of our listeners, have experienced group therapy before, you might find that it's been familiar to you in some way, because what we have a tendency to do in the group is to take on the same role that we had in our family. So people who maybe had a challenging experience in their family system might also have challenging experiences in groups that are familiar, versus someone who maybe had a more harmonious experience in their family system might love groups and might feel like they're a really important part of their identity because they are orienting themselves similarly in both of those groups.
Exactly. Well, this is, I hear this so often from clients where they will say, or they'll show me their best friend's chart. They'll give me their best friend's information and then maybe a parent's information. I'll be like, oh, look, your mom's son is in the same sign as your best friend's moon or rising sign. Or look, your dad's Mars is at 4 degrees in Pisces, that's exactly where your best friend's sun is at 4 degrees in Pisces. It might be a different planet, but it's at the same degree. Right. This is like what we've talked about so many times, I feel like, already, and I want to continue to bring it up. It's how, like, when you're a child, you're a wet piece of clay. And so who's handling that clay? It's your parents, your siblings, maybe extended family or close family friends. They're shaping you. They're molding you. And then as you get older, the clay hardens. And you go out into the world and you have these divots and indentations in your soul. And so this is why you end up finding yourself in similar dynamics of groups that reflect your family dynamics growing up. Because the people that are in the group are reflecting the primal triads or the astrological codes of the people that you grew up with.
But actually, it's not your family and friends that are making those divots, right?
It's your, the planets.
It's your birth chart.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, that's,
yeah, I wrote about this a little bit in my thesis, and there's this brilliant, brilliant astrologer and Jungian analyst named Liz Green.
Yes.
Who you're nodding because you know I love her.
Yes.
And I included this one quote from her in my thesis, and she said, astrology, the reason that astrology in some ways is more important than psychology is because it predates your childhood conditioning.
Yes.
So we all think, and this is a lot of what we talk about in therapy, and this is still really valuable, but we tend to think that our childhood conditioning, meaning these sorts of ways that we were molded in childhood, have made us who we are. But it is your astrological chart before you were even born that sets you up to experience those conditions in your childhood the way that you do.
Exactly.
And Liz Green says, it's like if you're wearing red glasses, the world looks red. Yeah. If you're wearing blue glasses, the world looks blue.
Yes.
So it's not the world that's red or blue.
No.
It's your glasses.
Yes.
It's your astrology.
Yes.
We're looking at the world through the lens of who we are, and that's why we see it the way that we do.
Yes.
And that's also why children with the same parents really don't have the same parents because of the alchemy between two astrological charts.
Exactly. That's it.
It's fascinating.
It is.
It's fascinating.
I psychology is important because it helps give you the understanding of the reality of your experience.
Yes, but you still have to deal with those childhood conditions.
Exactly.
Right.
But astrology, like I think of like an astrological code, like you know those pianos that play on their own?
Yes.
Where you have like a roll and there's literally like these divots in the roll, and as it goes along and the whatever's in the piano hits those divots, it makes the keys go and it starts playing the song.
Mm.
Your astrological code is like that role. You have the experiences that you were meant to have because of where the planets and stars were aligned when you were born.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
So, you know, I always try to encourage clients. It's like, you know, for as awful as your parents were or whatever, they were just playing a role in your life that they were cast in.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the astrology, the planet, where the planets and stars were aligned. Like they were cast to be the supporting character in the story of your life.
Exactly.
And maybe that was a villain. Maybe it was somebody that you loved deeply. We all have villains and people that we love. And, and they're all supporting characters in our lives that are attracted to us based on our astrological code.
Yes. And all of those imprints that were made in our clay, because they happen so early on,
yes,
they can end up repressed into our unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up sort of operating blindly from this perspective of, you know, what you mentioned, we're recreating these same patterns. We're seeking out people who are familiar to us in some way so that we can continue that work that we can no longer do with our parents and siblings because most of us don't live with them anymore as adults. And I love one of my favorite quotes from Carl Jung. He said, this is probably one of his most well-known quotes, but he said, until you make the unconscious conscious, It will direct your life and you will call it fate.
I love that.
Isn't that powerful?
It's so powerful and it's so poignant at this moment right now, because let's move on to the third transit of the week.
Let's do it.
Which is the planet of the conscious mind, the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, Mercury.
Okay.
Transiting through the mutable water signs symbolized by the fish, the sign of the unconscious, Pisces. So Mercury, the planet of the conscious mind, begins transit through the sign of the unconscious this week on February 22nd, Thursday, February 22nd, and it's going to be transiting through Pisces until March 9th. So quick trip, Mercury's cruising now, February 22nd to March 9th, Mercury is transiting through the sign of the unconscious. So it's bringing that conscious awareness. We might become more aware or more conscious of our unconscious during this period.
Mm-hmm.
So how does Carl Jung suggest one become conscious of the unconscious?
The best way to learn from what's in your unconscious is through dream work.
Okay, so the dreams, I think, are going to be very powerful during this period. The sun is already in Pisces, Neptune's in Pisces, Saturn's in Pisces, and now Mercury's in Pisces. So we're going to have four planets in Pisces for the next however many days that is, February 22nd to the 9th, is about 18 days or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, maybe this is a good time to keep a dream journal or to, you know, talk into your recorder on your phone when you wake up in the morning and do some conscious analyzation of your dreams.
Mm-hmm. So dreams are kind of like looking underneath the hood of your car and you can see what's going on in your inner world.
Mm-hmm.
And there are primarily two ways to work with dreams. One perspective is that dreams represent your relationship with yourself in a purely internal state.
Mm-hmm.
And that would mean that all of the figures in your dreams represent a part of you, which is a really cool...
That's kind of a trippy...
It's trippy. Way to, yeah. It's a very kind of a psychedelic sort of a way to think about things. So if you're having a dream where you're being chased by someone, you're
chasing yourself.
You're chasing yourself.
Or you're running from yourself.
You're running from a part of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So any conflicts in the dream are representing your internal conflicts.
Yes.
So that's sort of one popular way to look at dreams. And another way is to look at them a bit more relationally in terms of what can this dream teach you about how your inner world relates to the outer world? So you could have a dream that's about a parental figure or a sibling, and it could really be giving you information about how you're relating to them. And some people's dreams are truly prophetic as well. They actually predict the future, or they're actually related to external events as well. But I would say that's probably less common.
So can we jump ahead to a question right now? Because we've got a question that is kind of pertaining to what you're saying here.
Yeah, let's go.
This is from Jenny Star Pepper, one of our regular question askers. What's up, Jenny? Thank you.
I love your last name, Jenny.
Exactly. It's a very dream type name.
It is.
And
yes.
So Jenny is like, okay, Jenny says, deja vu, what is it? What if you dream something, then it comes true? This is how I experience deja vu. It's a feeling of, holy shit, I saw this in my dream and now it's here. What does it mean?
Jenny, I think this is just how things work for you, how you dream.
Yes.
I would be really curious, Jenny, let us know more about your chart, if you would. So I have a couple friends who are oriented this way in their dreams too, and they have a lot of Pisces energy.
Yes.
So I think this is just one of your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
This is an incredible gift.
Yes.
I guess I would be curious, are all of your dreams prophetic? Or do you find that just some of them are? can you tell the difference between if it's prophetic versus if it's maybe a different kind of dream that's telling you something about just your inner world? Mm. But I think this is, I think maybe you represent a smaller portion of the population. But this is definitely a type of dream that happens. And I think it's beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah. I love it.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm definitely curious to know, like, you know, where's Neptune?
Yes.
Are there planets in your 12th house? Are you a Pisces, this, that, or the next thing? And also Scorpio too, you know, it's like Scorpio has, you know, that psychic tinge to it. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Jenny, I'd want to know too, if you're willing to share, like, is this connected to work that you're doing in the world? Is it related to your North Node? You know, how is this showing up for you? Because this is such a special gift that I wonder, are you getting messages around maybe integrating this gift into your life in a larger way?
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what the content of the dream is, you know, it could be inviting you into using this gift in a larger way.
Hmm.
That could benefit you, that for could benefit sure. the community
yes.
in some other way. So yeah, I would say take it seriously and really think about what else to do. You know, this is such a cliche, but we often, like, we don't know that our gifts are special.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we often think, oh, everybody can do this.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But this is a really cool example. This is on the rare side, I would say.
Well, I think of it in terms of, like, those Marvel comic movies, like the X-Men, you know, where it's like all these people are freaks, you know, because they have these unique special powers. That's really a metaphor for everyone on Earth. We all have unique special powers that have been suppressed by the constructs of our society. And, you know, I feel like going back to, again, that Aquarius energy, part of Pluto and Aquarius is breaking that open. Like, when you think about, you know, the other big revolution that was happening during Pluto and Aquarius, the last go round was the Industrial Revolution. So it wasn't just all blood and war, but it was also revolutionizing the way that societies operate and function.
Right.
So,
yeah, I have one more thought.
Okay, go for
Jenny.
It.
Yeah, sorry, before we move on, I've mentioned this maybe once or twice, but I think something's coming to me to share here about it too. So we have a personal unconscious that we access in dreams, but we also have a collective unconscious. And so sometimes I think these prophetic dreams mean that whatever that boundary is between the personal and the collective unconscious is more accessible. The boundary is not as strong for those who have prophetic dreams, because oftentimes they involve other people. I guess I'd be curious again, Jenny, if yours are just about you and your own life, or are they more like on the collective level? So, because you could have access to the collective unconscious in a way that maybe others haven't found a way to do.
Yeah, it's like, what's out there in the ether? Like, when I think of Pisces, I think of the ether. It's like just beyond the veil of matter is this ethereal realm. And there's a deepening and a concentrating of it right now with Saturn transiting through Pisces. And there's a thinning of it with Neptune transiting through Pisces. There's an illumination of it with the sun transiting through Pisces, and there's a conscious awareness of it with Mercury now transiting through Pisces. But I think of that story of the monkeys that lived on the island, and like they dropped a bunch of crates of potatoes to these monkeys on this deserted island. And they did it on a few different islands out in the Pacific. And after like a few days or so, one of the monkeys on one of the islands started washing the potatoes. And so the other monkeys started washing the potatoes. But on the other islands, the monkeys started doing the same thing. around the same time. So it's like there was this note or this sort of idea that was in the ether.
Yes.
That was landing collectively with the monkeys. It wasn't just one monkey.
Mm-hmm.
It was monkeys in different places that had no connection to each other were getting the idea at the same time.
Yes.
Yes.
It's fascinating. Well, and this also happened recently. Remember I was showing that video to you about the killer whales that have started attacking boats?
Yes, exactly.
And I guess there was some, I think that researchers were able to target that there were enough, and I can't remember exactly where this took place, but there were enough instances of boats injuring these killer whales that the whales started to associate the boat with danger in a way that they hadn't before.
Right.
There never used to be attacks on boat from the whales to the boats.
Mm.
But it started happening because something changed around this sort of instinct to protect.
Mm.
And other whales started to then attack boats. And it became this, and I think is continuing to become a problem that didn't exist before.
Interesting.
Really interesting.
Well, and the ocean is ruled by Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes. Before we move on to the next transit, I just want to make a couple notes that the last time Mercury transited through Pisces was March 2nd to the 18th, 2023.
Okay.
The time before that was March 9th to the 27th, 2022. So think back to those dates for clues on what could be in store for you this time around. If you were born with key astrological points in Gemini or Sagittarius or even Virgo, you may be feeling challenged during this period. For Gemini, you're being called to go deeper than what you normally normally go. Gemini is all about the surface. And so whether you're born with the sun in Gemini, Gemini rising, the moon in Gemini, Venus, whatever it is, go deeper in that area. And that's the discomfort. For the Virgo energy, it's about softening your approach, having more compassion, being less critical, being less analytical, having more faith. And for the Sagittarius approach, this is about being more compassionate, being more empathetic. You know the truth. You see the thing, whether it's Mars in Sagittarius or Pluto in Sagittarius. There's a whole generation of people. If you were born between 1995 and 2008, you were born with Pluto in Sagittarius. So this is, you're going to be challenged to transform your mind, to be a little softer in your approach, to be more compassionate and empathetic in your approach. And if you're curious to know how this transit or any of these transits are affecting you directly, I encourage you to contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com.
And if you haven't had a reading with Scott, it's really a treat.
Thanks, baby.
Scott gets more like fan mail, I guess we could call it, via email than anyone I've ever seen, truly.
I truly feel blessed because I'm like, how many people out there in the world get nice messages from complete strangers on a daily basis? I feel so fortunate.
I mean, you get the most loving messages. And I almost wish that they were like posted publicly for people to read as, you know, reviews or testimonials or something.
Well, you can review the podcast.
You can review the podcast.
And write a nice comment on YouTube and that sort of stuff. So, yes.
Yeah, but these emails are like so intimate and just beautiful. Mm. So beautiful. The way that you're connecting with people. And even people that you've never spoken to directly.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. I feel very blessed, very grateful. Yes.
Yeah. So. It just really speaks to the love and the care that you bring to the readings.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. So I'm here to support you. I'm here to offer clarity and guidance for whatever you're going through in life. And And if you're somebody who's done a reading with me in the past, then, and you want to go deeper, I encourage you to contact me about the Cosmic Pathway, where I meet with clients weekly, bi-weekly, monthly. And if that is something that might speak to you, then contact me. Just email me Cosmic Pathway in the subject line, and we'll begin the dialogue and see if it's a match, if it's going to work for the two of us. But I'm here to support you, here to guide you, here to offer clarity to any sort of confusion that you're feeling in life.
Yeah, you can really support with any kind of a question, mm-hmm. whether it's personal, whether it's business, whether it's more kind of existential, or even if it's more on a practical level. Like, you want to get married, what's a good date for that? You want to start a bit new business. I mean, anything from sort of like the mundane to the magical.
I love that. Anything from the mundane to the magical. I had a reading this morning with a new client who at the end was like, so, like, what direction can we take? Like, moving forward, he's like, I definitely want to work with you again. But, like, what is there any sort of limitation or to, you know, questions that I have or this and that? I'm like, no, it's whatever you want to get into, we mm-hmm. can get into and reflect it through the planets and stars, whether it's understanding a relationship with an individual, whether it's unwinding some sort of traumatic event that happened in your past, whether it's looking at the present day, if you have an ailment in your body, mm-hmm. You want to know what's happening down the line. All so many different directions we can go.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, once you've gotten to the point of really understanding your chart, mm-hmm. like sort of in and of itself, then starting to look at the charts of your family members can really give you so much more insight into why you're showing up that way in those relationships,
yes.
or why you're wounded the way that you are and kind of what you're meant to do with that.
Mm.
So that personally has brought a lot of healing for me in just the ways that I understand, love, accept, and appreciate my family members.
Yes, yes.
It's been an incredible gift.
Yes, it's so, so helpful.
Yeah.
It's been helpful for you. It's been helpful for me. It totally changed the dynamic of my relationship with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm needing to implement that more with some of my friends, too. And,
yeah.
you know, and mm-hmm. just know when I need to dial it back or adjust in some way
mm-hmm.
to because when you have this knowledge, it's power. And,
it is.
And so how are you using that power?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you want to use that power to hopefully create better, healthier, happier relationships with all the people in your life.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a coworker even.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
Family member, lover, friend, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. And if anyone's interested in working with me.
Oh, what?
I haven't really done a pitch yet, but
no.
I just wanted to share with our listeners that I am also accepting new clients.
Yes.
For therapy.
Exactly.
We can also talk about astrology mm-hmm. too. I do offer that as an area of, I wouldn't call it expertise per se, mm-hmm. but I have knowledge of astrology that we can talk about.
Yes, you do. You are very knowledgeable with the astrology, so don't sell yourself short. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. But first and foremost, what I offer is therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So I offer in-person sessions in Los Angeles, and I offer telehealth sessions for anyone in the state of California.
Okay.
So right now I can't work with anyone who's out of the state.
Right.
Not at this time based on the license that I currently hold.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're outside of LA and you're curious to work together, please reach out and let's talk about the options.
Yes. Yes. Gabriella is amazing. So empathetic. And just very sensitive and in tune with, like, you're so bright.
Thank you.
You're so bright. You're Virgo moon, so you don't miss anything. But the Cancer rising, very compassionate.
Mm.
And you are, you know, it's a treat for me as your partner.
Mm.
Because it's like I get, my own sort of, you know, not that it's like real therapy, but you know, you really do utilize your knowledge to help me gain perspective on things. So very grateful for you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And yeah, I really love my clients.
Yes. Yeah. I do too. You grow attached to these people. You're like, they're the most important people in my life aside from you and, you know, my family. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're, yeah, you really like, you become invested in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And, absolutely.
And you just are rooting for their success and their their wins, all their wins.
Yes.
You know, because you're with them through the losses and you have to pull them up through the losses and help support them and help them understand the lessons in the losses, because it's not really a loss. It's just a lesson. It's right. learning from the experience and growing from it.
Really asking the right questions for them to answer themselves.
Exactly.
I think is a big part of it. Yes. Rather than
telling them.
Rather than having the answer ourselves, yes. Encouraging our clients to integrate mm-hmm. the lessons and have the answers on their own.
Yes.
And like you mentioned, holding the hope for them when maybe they're not able to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's a really important part too.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, I think my job as the astrologer is just to show them the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's not a train, but you know, we can see the planets moving to this area.
Yeah.
And you know, by this point, there's a potential that things are going to open up in a really positive way. But in the meantime, we really want to focus in this area so that when the planets do open up, you're ready to grasp the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just being, okay, I feel a little better now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, you're taking that energy, you're harnessing it, and you're taking off to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like what you said too about finding meaning and focusing on what you're learning.
Yes.
I think that's a real component to the Jungian perspective, but also I love existential psychology too, which is sort of this more open-ended type of psychology that's like, why are we even here? Like, what does any of this mean? What are we doing?
Yes. Big questions.
Yeah, which is like a really beautiful rabbit hole in regard to your life circumstances and sort of why are things showing up the way that they are.
Finding the themes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, moving on.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Moving on to the next transit, the fourth transit of the week is Venus again, transiting through Aquarius, forming a square, a stressful aspect with Jupiter, the god of thunder, lord of justice, the planet of luck and expansion, in the fixed earth sign symbolized by the bull and ruled by Venus, Taurus. This is a transit that is occurring from Thursday, February 22nd, to Monday, February 26th, with an exact square happening on Saturday, February 24th. So as we, you know, this is kind of happening concurrently a little bit with Mars and Venus and those conflicts. And we'll talk next week about Mars squaring Jupiter, but because that's when we're going to be feeling it more. But as these conflicts are coming up in terms of the group dynamic, this Jupiter expanding Taurus, which is self-worth and values, we're really looking at, what do you value? What is your self-worth and how is that reflected within the group dynamic?
Mm-hmm.
Is what I value honored, reflected, or at the very least respected by the other members of the group? If it's not respected by the other members of the group,
what's going on?
Why am I in this group? Why am I still, you know, in this dynamic? You don't have to reflect my values. I'd like you to honor them, but you better respect them.
Mm-hmm.
You better respect my values, even if they're different than your values.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm going to respect your values. So I need you to respect mine.
Right.
And that is sort of the crux that we're at here at the end of the week, where there may be some push-pull.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I can see too how this particular transit is sitting with this invitation towards authenticity as well. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not being authentic, then it's hard to know what you do even value.
Yes.
You can see how the authenticity piece is really a precursor to being able to get to this stage.
Well, Jupiter is the planet of truth. Mm-hmm. So it's, as it transits through Taurus, as it's been since, you know, the middle of last year, it's bringing truth to what we value. Mm-hmm. Honesty to what we truly value.
Right.
Do you really value what you say you value?
Mm-hmm. How do you think we know if we value something?
You see it in reality.
Hmm.
It's in Taurus. Like if you have a diamond ring, let's say, and you keep it in the ashtray where you smoke your cigarettes, but you say that you value the diamond.
Hmm.
Do you value the diamond if you're ashing on it and putting out your cigarettes in the same place that you keep your diamond?
Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
So you have to look at your reality. And we've been talking about the unconscious here a lot this week. But Taurus, the Taurus energy with Jupiter, also Uranus in Taurus, is awakening our awareness to our reality. So if you say you value a clean home, but yet your home isn't clean, then you don't really value a clean home.
Interesting. So there's a part that we're really being challenged to, like, walk the walk, talk the talk. So if you're saying one thing but doing another, then you're not clear on what you value.
And that's in relationships. In this instant where we're talking about Venus squaring Taurus, you're saying that I value this in friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do your friends
reflect that?
Reflect that.
Right.
Do they reflect what you say you value?
Mm-hmm.
If not, then you need to check your values or you need to check your friends.
Right. You might have values that are not really yours.
Mm-hmm.
You might be operating under sort of a false belief that you have a value that maybe doesn't belong to you. Yeah, it's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Okay, so there might be some sort of dissonance that comes up, kind of bumping up against what you're saying versus what you're doing, and being invited into an opportunity to reconcile those two.
Yes. What is the group reflecting?
Right.
Check your values, check your friends. Do they match up?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then the final transit this week, the creme de la creme of the week, the full moon in Virgo at 5 degrees in Virgo. This is Saturday, February 24th at 4:31 a.m. Pacific time. The full moon in Virgo, before we get to the full moon in Virgo, we need to think about the new moon in Aquarius, which was back on February 9th.
Okay.
That was setting your intentions for what you want the group dynamic to look like. It was setting your intentions to be independent rather than codependent in terms of your community relations, the group dynamic. So now the moon is full. That was the inhale. That was planting the seeds of the coming harvest. Now the full moon is showing and sharing the harvest. It's the exhale. It's the release. So Virgo is mutable earth. Mutable is adaptable, changeable, go with the flow. Earth, not really mutable because it's hard to move the earth. But the Virgo energy, even though it's rigid and structured, is meldable in some way. Virgo is ruled by Mercury, the mind, the messenger of the gods. It's the sign of conscious, the conscious mind, the introverted expression of the conscious mind, as opposed to Gemini, the extroverted expression of the conscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
symbolized by the Virgin. When I think of the Virgin, I think of the great Virgo nun, Mother Teresa, somebody who is very shy, subservient, humble. But I had somebody tell me recently, well, but I heard she was real kind of a hard ass and this and that. Like, yeah, exactly. That's
Virgo energy doesn't mess around.
Exactly. The nun, the nun is not just a saintly, it's the woman that's like banging the ruler over the hands of the children, you know, in school. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think of Mother Teresa as somebody who is working tirelessly day in and day out to create a structure that facilitated an efficiency in daily life so that she could be of greater service to the people of Calcutta. So during this full moon, you want to release any sort of criticism, any sort of overly analytical thoughts that are preventing you from being yourself, being the unique version of you, and allowing that unique version of you to fit into the group. It's okay to fit into the group as long as you're not compromising yourself. But how can you be yourself within the group when you're constantly criticizing, analyzing yourself and everyone else in the group?
Well, I think what's interesting about this Virgo energy, because I'm a Virgo moon.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Don't I know it?
Which you know, yes, on a regular basis. But what's so powerful about this Virgo energy, like this Virgo is such a gift, because you have the gift of looking around the world and being able to see what can be improved.
I thought you were going to say looking around your wardrobe and seeing what can be improved, because that's what I think of when you, yeah.
Well, and I do this in my home. Mm-hmm. I'm always sort of curating or cultivating something in the home.
Because let's be clear of what the world is, because Virgo, the world is this right here. This is the world for Virgo. It's not that.
Well,
it's like,
well,
it's just your reality. I think of it as like your reality.
Well, I think it can extend beyond
your
that
daily
too.
Life.
I think that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. So the gift is that Virgo energy can always see how things need to be improved. Mm-hmm. And the reality is something can always be improved, right?
Yes.
That's evolution. Mm-hmm. Literally, we will never stop being able to improve the way we think, the things that we build, the way we take care of ourselves, right?
Yes.
There's always a better way.
Yes.
So while that's a beautiful gift, the shadow side of that is that there's no recognition that things are also already perfect.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I think what we're releasing is the critical part that's holding you back from getting to just experience enjoyment and peace and
in
peace.
In the mundane.
And exactly.
That's what it is, enjoying the mundane.
So it's not, I don't think, releasing all of sort of that critical nature, because to a certain point, you really need that ability to improve. Mm-hmm. But then it gets to the point where it's nitpicky and it becomes, you know, perfectionism, which is, it's toxic. Mm-hmm. It can become incredibly toxic.
Yes.
So it's about knowing where that line is with the Virgo energy and using it in a way that's useful to a point and then letting the rest of it go.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I mean, I was talking to the Virgo moon expert right here. This is from, you know.
Did you love how I... helped you improve how to talk
you
about
did.
The Virgo,
you
the full moon
did.
In Virgo.
Yes, exactly. You heard it here from a Virgo moon. So it was perfect. It was perfect.
Exhibit A.
Yes,
exhibit A.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yes. Well, I don't have anything to add to that. I mean, I think you nailed all the points. You know, I think just maybe generally thinking in terms of, you're thinking about your daily routine, your health, your diet, your work, and releasing in those areas so that you can feel more centered and harmonious in the group dynamic. in the group dynamic, and remembering that, you know, this polar opposition of the full moon is the sun in Pisces, reflecting the, well, the moon in Virgo reflecting the light of the sun in Pisces. So it's connecting the unconscious to the conscious again. So this is a week of awakening. I feel like a lot of awakening, but also dreaming but being aware and conscious of the dreams. So I just want to say, anyone who is interested in learning about how the next lunar cycle is affecting you directly, I encourage you to enroll in the Moon Cycle classes, which are available for enrollment at theweeklytransit.com. We will be discussing the new moon in Pisces and the full moon in Libra in the next cycle. And so in these lunar cycle classes, we're talking about not just what Gabriella and I talked about right now, but also where they are in your astrological code, what planets or key points they're aligning to in your astrological code, what that means, and how to work with the energy in terms of setting intentions during the new moon or releasing during the full moon.
Wonderful.
Yes.
What a great episode.
Oh, all right. Congratulating yourself. Yeah. I love it, Gabrielle.
Well, and awesome. You too. I feel like
No, you're congratulating us, but I love that you feel that way. I love that. And hopefully our listeners feel that way as well. We're very appreciative of you. You mean a lot to us. Love hearing from you. Thank you for all the love, all the comments and support. If you like this podcast, like it on whatever platform you're listening on, and you know, I don't know the things to say, write a nice comment, a review, all that sort of stuff. We really appreciate you. If you want to support us monetarily, you can do that through Spotify as well. So thank you for all of your support and encouragement, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you are interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can connect with her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. Music written by Ben Leinbach, from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog Lyman. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian. Wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.